This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Just to read it with me and to read it from a conviction in your spirit. Before you read this, when you read in the Bible in Acts chapter 2, where it says, "And they, the early church, devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles." This is the teachings of the apostles. The summary of the teaching of the apostles. The faith that was once for all given to the church. That was handed down. And obviously, if you have it in your hand, it's come 2,000 years. Through hands like yours and hearts like yours. And just to stand in the history of the church, just to say, I believe. Let's pray together. Let's say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, in one holy church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. For those of you who were here last week, We opened a discussion just from Deuteronomy chapter 6 by saying that as believers, the call that God has on our life is a love. And God calls on us to love him with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. And that's what we're called. And some of you were probably thinking, and then we said that our love is something which draws us toward a picture of the good life. He says, a land flowing with milk and honey for the Israelites walking through the desert. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful picture, something that whets the appetite and something which tugs on the heart. It's a place where we desire. I just prayed that. I said, a place where there will be no more tears and no more cries, a place where there will be no more death, poverty, or sickness, because Christ, for once for all, has conquered that. So it's something that we long with, something that we long for. But all of us are drawn to a place like that. All of us are drawn to something like that. It's something deep in the human spirit. Now the point is, not all of our pictures of heaven, not all of our pictures of the good life, not all of us have the same image in our head. And every ism in this world places such a picture in our heads. If it's materialism or consumerism, it is the lure or the lie, the lure that if I have everything that my heart desires, I will be happy. It's what every time you switch on a phone, every time you walk in the mall, it has images, pictures. Remember when I was in the 80s, when I was about six or seven. Maybe it's just for the first time I saw it. But then pictures, advertisements on TVs and especially in the movies changed. There'll be no more advertisement that says Peter Stuyvesant is this amazing thing and the taste is so unique and the nicotine level is so amazing. It's not sold based on the product, but that's where lifestyle advertising, remember that, started. Some of you don't remember that. You weren't born then. Some of you forgot that because you were born long before that. Okay. But that's where it's sort of lifestyle advertising, and we're not allowed to advertise the products that much. You just advertise a lifestyle. Or Mainstay, remember Mainstay, the yacht? And every time you sit in that thing, you'd go like, I want to be there. Stay as you are, you can change. Or you remember when we had the Camel ads, and you just thought, that I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. I want to be that Camel man. You know, and girls, you go like, I want to be with that Camel man. So it's a lure. It's a picture of a place, and this is it, where I will be at peace. A place where my heart will rest. A place where I will be satisfied or content. A place that is where I am enough. And that is the lure that it is. Now, when God was speaking to the Israelites, he was speaking to that part. And that's every time that we gather in church, that we worship Jesus, we worship him as the one in whom we find all sufficiency. I'm quoting Psalm 16 a lot these days. It's for a while now. But I noticed that I'm quoting it a little bit out of context. So let me say in which way. I'm a thankful person. It's a discipline that we practice. It's a discipline that is... Remember men last year when we did the Conqueror's Course? It says every single day, at the beginning of your day, if it's the only thing you do, take a moment and thank God for 5 concrete things. Real things. Because the discipline cultivates the heart and the eye to see what is good, to see the hand of God. I just thinking about it the last 2 weeks. You know, it's amazing. We have a habit which we inherited in many of our families that before we pray, I think all of our families, but most of our families, that before we enjoy the food on our table, we stop, whether it's in a restaurant or whether it's at home or whether it's my tuburiki at work, where I say, Father, before I eat this, we just do what Jesus modeled. Thank you. We have power for the people. Amazing. It's like a... We say, thank you for the lights. Thank you for the meal. And we just thank God for what we have. Now, it's the same thing that I was doing. So I was praying and I'm saying, God, Psalm 16. I say, God, my boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. I say, God, really, thank you for what I have. I have a rich inheritance. This week, my brother turned 43. And all of our family came together this week. And then we just prayed. The atmosphere just died, but golf, this is beautiful. Thank you so much. And then we just said, and I looked, and at night I go, thank you, God, for this table with my 2 brothers and their families, my mom and dad still around the table. And I say, God, my boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. I have a rich inheritance. And then obviously I know the psalm because David, the shepherd boy, out in the fields, prayed for exactly the opposite. He said, God, I have no inheritance. My dad forgot I was born. I have no material wealth. I am a poor shepherd boy with no one around me out in the field. But then he prays and he says, I have a rich inheritance. My boundaries have fallen in pleasant places because the Lord is my lot and the Lord is my reward. He quotes Abraham, Genesis 15. I have everything I need because Christ is my sufficiency. And that's what he's praying. So we're speaking about our hearts. We are defined by what we love, defined by what we're drawn towards, because what we desire, what we long for, what we look after, what we yearn for, everything in our heart is like an arrow, will be pointed in that direction. It's conscious or subconscious. If we believe that life is at its fullness when I have no financial worry, when I have, you know, that rich fool, all the money in the bank that happiness can buy, and I don't have to work anymore, and I can sit all day chilling, then that's why. I don't want to say for many of us that is our, because we have been shaped by materialism, that is our goal, to save enough to not work anymore, let someone else work for me, let some network company work for me, let some investment house work for me, let something work for me, but I don't want to work anymore because I want to spend my days chillaxing. That is life in the fullness. I'm trusting in security in money. Money can buy peace. That's what we're saying. It's deeply ingrained in us. So now we sit here and we say, okay, cool. So if my heart, if I'm defined by my love and drawn by everything that I have, what if I love the wrong stuff? What if I'm honest with myself and I go like, maybe my heart loves the wrong stuff. With my mouth I say, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart. And all my actions say, I love God, but I also love my peace, my tranquility, my relaxation. I love the pictures of naked women on my phone. You know, that's a bad love, but even like a... So it's a good love to love the money in the bank. It's a bad love to love the naked pictures on my phone. You know, what if I find that I love the wrong stuff? And that's what Deuteronomy last week said so beautifully. It is that love is not automatic and love is not a decision of the head. It's not cultivated by knowing stuff. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, and mind. He will give you this land flowing with milk and honey. So, this is how you teach your children to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. In the morning when they wake up, next to the road, when they enter and they exit the house, let it be to them a sign on their head and a sign on their heart and their hands. On the road when you sit down. So there are tangible, practical ways in which you shape your heart to love God. Can I say that what we did this morning, not because we sit seated like this, is a shaping of your heart? It defines you. It defines your children coming to church on a Sunday, participating in singing lyrics, prayers, and scripture to God while we are assembled. It defines what we are. I am a Christian. How do I know that? What is a Christian? Well, it's people who gather in the presence of God, who set their hearts and their minds and their mouths on Jesus and sing to the Lord with all their heart. It's a cultivation. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a cultivation. Shaping my heart to recognize Jesus' lordship, that means he's my boss, but also my security. I trust my rock and fortress and whom I take refuge, my shield, David, Psalm 18. So that's what we did. I just want to say that what we just did now, we don't do that often. We did it last year and the year before a little bit more often. But the Apostles' Creed, so there are three things that the Apostles' Creed does in shaping our hearts and minds. Ek gaan bietjie vinniger praat, want ek hoor ook die buzz. Okay. First of all, every time we say the creed, we recite the vow of baptism. As believers, when you get saved, and we make a public confession of Christ as Lord,